This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Ever before had the occasion to discuss the work of Jacques Derrida with you. But this morning, I'll venture to say a little bit about his maxim, Il ne pas de hors texte. This is typically loosely translated as there's nothing outside the text. But we can go into it in some detail. Hors-texte, it's H-O-R-S, outside text, see that word, or I first encounter when I was a printer and publisher, we did hand-printed limited editions, and you might have 200 regular copies of a book, and then there would be 26 special signed copies, and then you'd say 5 or 10 copies were hors commerce, outside of commerce, or not for sale. They would be copies that you'd give the author or would give away for review or as a gift. They were outside the realm of normal selling, buying and selling. When someone is hors de loi, outside the law, they're an outlaw. But their status as an outlaw is still in reference to the law. So they are outside in a particular sense. They're not really totally outside the law in the sense of being in kind of lawless world. That would mean being in a world, sort of a Hobbesian world, pre-social contract, where there was no such thing as law. We don't mean that when we say outlaw. We mean someone who's in a certain bad relationship with the law. Or text, it turns out, also has a technical meaning in publishing, which is sort of why I noticed this recently in an article, the LRB by Michael Wood. It means the blank or unnumbered pages at the end of a book on either side of the text, outside the text. If you bind up books, print and bind books in the old-fashioned way, you fold up the pages and then sew them together, and when you do that, you're always going to end up with a few blanks, which make the end papers of the books. And those are called hors text, those pages. So one of the things is Derrida is saying is there are no hors text, there are no blanks that don't count. There are no pages that don't count. One way of saying there is nothing outside. Now, when he says there's nothing outside the text, he's in a way saying there's nothing outside of language, which is a idea that has a certain resemblance to Wittgenstein saying that the limits of your language are the limits of your world. You're always operating from inside your world, inside your language. There's no place to stand outside of it to judge it. Derrida, I gather he would say this, that essentially that there's only context, no reference. Everything is within the text of language, and when you try to understand something, your understanding is always in reference to something internal or to another text or something within language itself. There's no way to stand outside of language and judge whether it's corresponding well or badly to reality. All those questions about truth or correspondence or moves within language. So, how am I going to make this in any way relevant to Zen? Think of the line in the Sandokai. If you do not see the way, you do not see it even as you walk on it. The idea being that everything is inside, everything is part of the way, that your deluded nature is such that you imagine yourself off the way or alienated from the way and having to find your way back to it in some sense. This is the, you could say that's the basic content of delusion, that you are somehow off the way, that you are outside the way, struggling to get in. Our practice is one that says that we have to live life and practice from the inside. But the fact is that we reflexively do just the opposite. You know, when we looking at the cases in the Denko Roku these days, you know, you'll read things in there about the different marks of the Buddha, all the characteristics of an awakened one. And while it has a kind of, to us, sort of almost comical, mythological quality, it's what we do all the time in our own mind when we judge ourselves in a kind of how are we doing way. We imagine a list of outside attributes that an enlightened person has. And, you know, we make our own personal list of calmness or equanimity or compassion or wisdom, and we define each of those things in our own idiosyncratic way. And then we start comparing them to ourselves, and we sort of try to match it up. You see, that's where this connects. We think that there's a reference. And we think that there is an outside reference that's a kind of objective, here are the lists of what an enlightened person is like, and then I'm looking at myself, and here I've got this list of qualities, and I match them up, and it's always doesn't work out too well, right? I'm always deficient, always falling short, always saying, nope, not there yet, not it. But this is really the very opposite of what our practice should be like. To imagine reference like that is to imagine we're off the way and need to get back on it. You remember the story of Uchiyama, who starts off comparing himself to the charismatic Goto Suwaki. Uchiyama, you know, ends his story saying, you know, all these years later, I'm still a wimp, right? he didn't become a teacher by finally acquiring all the characteristics on the enlightenment list that he saw in the Code of Suwaki. He completely turned things around and realized he had to practice from the inside. He had to fully own and occupy being Uchiyama. And that when he did that, he found that he was on the way all the time, that he could never leave that. So if we think of Derrida's or text, as outside text, we turn that into our practice. We say, there's no such thing as outside the way, right? We're always right in the middle of it. Practice wholeheartedly from the inside.